Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday morning weekly gathering, and it's wonderful to be here with you all. I'm feeling a little quiet, but I'm sure that will move on and allow me to speak this morning. Right now, I'm just feeling very, very quiet. So why don't we begin by saying hello to everyone? Maybe that will move me into the groove of being able to speak a little more. I'm going to play the song that I traditionally play during this time. It's called Awakening by Deva, Pramal, and Mitten. And as I play the song, please greet one another and share yourself. So here we go.
Calling of the mystic awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
All right, thank you, everyone. As most of you know, Awakening Together is an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, which is awakening to one true self. And if my memory serves me correctly, the last couple of times that I've been the minister on Sunday morning, I've shared with you from our forms of worship. And if you want to know where the forms of worship are for Awakening Together, they're at our website, awakening-together.org. Underneath the About Us menu, you'll find our forms of worship. And I'm going to read quickly over that list of forms of worship, but first let me read the introduction at the top of the list. Awakening Together is a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. We believe that all religions, all scripture, and all spiritual masters ultimately point to one truth, for there can be only one absolute truth, not many. And since we are all inherently a part of the truth as living beings, we can each realize truth as a direct intuition, regardless of our religion, culture, or spiritual tendencies. Therefore, our forms of worship come from all of the great spiritual traditions, and the exact form of worship may vary from one individual member to the next. Our basic forms of worship include prayer, contemplation, teaching or sharing, meditation, silent mantra, surrender, self-inquiry, practicing forgiveness, focusing on the I Am presence or life force, musical worship, satsang, deep acceptance and allowance, observing or noticing, journaling. And then today I want to highlight that I've added a new form of worship to the website. It's called Increasing the Desire to Awaken. The desire to awaken is a powerful force that can draw supportive circumstances into one's life, provide the ability to see what one could not see before, and supply the drive to be earnest in spiritual practice. Therefore, increasing the desire to awaken is itself a very important form of worship. Now I'd like to share some announcements. The first announcement is that tomorrow you all will receive a letter in your inbox from elections@awakeningtogether.org. And the reason you're going to receive this letter is that it's time for our summer elections. Each summer we elect new members to the Member Board of Trustees, and it's time now to do that. Some of you may remember our election process from last year. It's really a two-step process. First, there's a nomination process in order to determine who's going to be on the ballot. And then there is the ballot process where we vote for our new Member Board of Trustees. This year, we will be filling 3 seats, which means each of you get 3 votes. You get to vote for each of the available seats. The letter that comes into your inbox tomorrow will explain the nomination process fully, which is the first process that we're going into. It will also explain the other processes that are to come. But the nomination process starts tomorrow. It opens tomorrow. And it closes on June 8th, which means we have 2 full weeks, really 15 full days, in order to nominate people for the Member Board of Trustees. And the way the nomination works is a little different than maybe some other nomination processes you've been involved in. Not only can you nominate someone, but you can support other people's nominations. So, for example, let's imagine Lynn was not yet on the Member Board of Trustees, and let's imagine that I nominated Lynn. When you went to the website and looked and noticed that Lynn had already been nominated, you could say, oh, I want to support that nomination. And you could email in, I would like to support Lynn's nomination. And that's kind of important because in order to get on the ballot, a nominee needs support from either 10% of the members or from the Member Board of Trustees. So if somebody is just nominated by one person and no one else supports that nomination, it most likely, in fact, it will not show up on the ballot. In order to get on the ballot, it needs 10% of the members to support it, or it needs the support of the Member Board of Trustees. So it's really important not only to nominate, but to go and look and see who has been nominated and to support the nominations that you would like to see get on the ballot. Again, you're allowed 3 votes, which means, for example, you could nominate 1 person and support 2 others. You could nominate 2 people and support 1 other. Nominate 3 people but then you don't get to support anyone, or not nominate anyone and support three people. You see, you have three votes that you can use in combination, but no more than three. The letter tomorrow is going to give you the link to the website, to the place on the website where you'll be able to go and see who's being nominated. It will be on our website underneath the four members menu. If you really would like to see someone on the member board of trustees, the earlier you nominate them, the better, because then that gives more time for other people to see their name on the nomination list and choose to support them. You can nominate people up until June 8th, but since June 8th is our last day, if you nominate someone on that last day, they probably will not get a lot of support. So it's a good idea to nominate someone if you're really interested in seeing them on the member board of trustees. It's a good idea to nominate them as early as possible. Again, tomorrow is the first day you'll be able to nominate, and the letter that you receive in your inbox will tell you exactly how to do that. It will also tell you how to support nominations. One more thing you might want to know is that our Constitution says in order to be on the member board of trustees, you need to have been a member for 2 full years. Or if we happen to be in our first 2 years as a church, which we are now, you need to have been a charter member. No one's been a member for 2 years because Awakening Together hasn't even existed for 2 years yet. Our 2 year anniversary is coming up on July 21st of this year. So that means anyone who's nominated this year needs to be a charter member. And a charter member is anyone who joined in the first 3 months. And there's a list of charter members that you'll be able to access. So what I recommend when you're thinking about who you want to nominate is that you open up that list of charter members, which the link will be in your letter tomorrow. Scan that list of charter members and see who jumps out at you. Ask the heart. Ask the heart to help you decide. My next announcement is that there is an Introduction to Buddhism class starting in June, and the last day to register for that class is June 1. The class is going to be taught on both Tuesday evenings and Wednesday mornings. Jay McCormick will be the facilitator of the Tuesday evening class. That will begin at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time and run until 9:30. It begins on June 9th and runs for 6 weeks. Homework begins a week before that. The Wednesday morning class, I will be the facilitator. That begins at 10 a.m. Eastern Time and runs until noon on Wednesdays, beginning on June 10th and running for 6 weeks. And again, homework begins a week before that. Since it's a 6-week class, the fee for this class is $120. There is homework 7 days a week in the Introduction to Buddhism class. And there's a lot to be gained from contemplation of the practices that we're going to be looking at in that class. So if you're interested, please go to awakening-together.org. Look underneath the classes menu. You'll see Introduction to Buddhism. You'll also notice there's an Introduction to Kabbalah coming up if you're interested in that, both starting June. I also just want to mention again that we do have a fall retreat coming up, and now that we're turning the corner from spring into summer, it's really time to start considering whether you're called to go to this fall retreat. Remember, it's really 3 retreats, not just one. You can attend 1, 2, or all 3. The first retreat is Jan Fraser from Friday, October 30 to Sunday, November 1. The second retreat is Regina Dawn Akers from Sunday, November 1 to Friday, November 6. And the third retreat is Bentino Massaro from Friday, November 6 to Sunday, November 8. All fees include not only the retreat, but your room and your meals. And it's at a lovely Franciscan retreat center right up at the edge of the mountains in Colorado Springs. You can get more information about that under our events menu at awakening-together.org. Also, Lynn mentioned that some of you have been in the room, have come into the room since Lynn mentioned it, so let me mention again that tonight we have a special guest in the room, Chuck Hillig. Chuck Hillig will be here right after my 7 Steps teaching at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Chuck will be here. So come and listen to Chuck. He's going to talk a little bit about how the spiritual teachers that we love and are most inspired by, such as Ramana Maharshi, Nisargadatta Maharaj, Jesus, Buddha, that these teachers are not people, just as we are not people. It'll be a very inspirational sharing, so please come and listen to Chuck tonight. Also, I wanted to mention that I have started a new Facebook group called Ask Regina. The reason I started the group is a number of people have asked me recently to be their spiritual mentor, and I really do not have the time to mentor several different people. You know, it could even be dozens of people one-on-one. I would have to leave this job entirely in order to do that job. So what I've done is I've started a group called Ask Regina, which is my way of providing the requested mentoring. Anyone who wants to join the group is welcome to join the group. You can ask questions in the group, and I will answer the questions. The thing is, it really is a mentor group, and so the only one answering the questions is me. It's not a discussion group. It's not a personal sharing group. All of those groups also exist in Facebook, but this has a very, very specific purpose. It's if someone wants to ask questions and hear the answers that I will give. So if that's interesting to you, please join the Ask Regina Facebook group. And, of course, if it's not interesting to you, just let that go. All right, I'm going to play our opening song now. It's called Strangely Dim by Francesca Battistelli. And I love this song. Not only is it a fun song, which you will hear, but the song sends a distinct message to me. The message that I hear in this song is that when I place my attention on my spiritual purpose, my spiritual aspiration, my longing for truth, everything else grows dim, which means maybe I'm concerned about money, or maybe I'm concerned about how I'm going to get all of my work done, or maybe I'm concerned about choices my daughter's making, or maybe I'm concerned about choices my friends are making, or maybe I'm concerned about whether I should be in this romantic relationship or not. All of those concerns fade from the mind when I remember to shift my attention to my spiritual purpose. They grow strangely dim. And that's the name of the song by Francesca Battistelli. So here we go.
I've got all these plans piled up sky high, a thousand dreams on hold, and I don't know why. Got a front row seat to the longest wait, and I just can't see past the things I pray today. But when I fix my eyes on all that you are, then every doubt I feel deep in my heart grows strangely dim. All my words. Sometimes where I stand on this narrow road, is it a raging storm or a valley low? All my worries fade and fall to the ground, 'cause when I
To our morning invocation, I will start with silence, and then I will come from the silence into a prayer. I want to express gratitude for the little. And by the little, I mean the little willingness. It seems to me, as I look very, very honestly, that the little willingness that I had for truth when I was propelled onto the spiritual path has really grown. It's blossomed. And yet at the same time, I can still see that it's a little willingness. I know that it's a little willingness when I look with honesty, because I can see just how many hours a day my mind is chattering about things in the world. It could be chattering about imaginary situations in the world. It can be chattering about future ideas and what can be done at some other time. It can be chattering about the past, although I admit that has grown much, much weaker in this particular mind. But it still chatters. And I know from my study of NTI that the chattering of the mind is representing my wanting of the world. It's showing my interest in the world when I give interest to the chattering mind. And every moment that I spend giving interest to the chattering mind, is a symbol of my resistance to truth. NTI also says that the way to overcome great resistance is with great willingness. And NTI also says that the way to take a little willingness and have it grow into great willingness is to have gratitude and love for the little. Have gratitude and love for the little, and it will grow into the great. And so I choose to have great, great, great gratitude for the little. I don't choose to chastise myself for the hours a day that my mind is distracted. All chastisement comes from the ego, and I don't choose to join the ego. I can't find any benefit in that. So I do not choose to chastise myself, but I do choose to be honest. And I choose to recognize that if my mind is still distracted hours per day, it means I need to give more and more love and gratitude to my little willingness. Because that little willingness is my path home. That little willingness, as it grows and grows into great willingness, is what calls me into the heart and away from the world. And the way to let it grow is to love it. So great love for that little willingness. Amen. All right, I want to introduce our reader today. Her name is Cindy Rust, and she's going to be reading excerpts from Chapter 4 of The Most Direct Means to Eternal Bliss by Michael Langford. I giggled last week when Dove and Lynn read from The Most Direct Means to Eternal Bliss, because I already knew that that would be my reading this week, so I thought it was funny that we'd be sharing from the same book 2 weeks in a row, but that's the way it's turning out. So, Cindy, the mic is yours.
Good morning. It's Cindy, and I'm grateful to be here. I trust you can hear me. Excerpt 4 of The Most Direct Means, The Most Rapid and Direct Means to Eternal Bliss. Awakening the extremely intense desire for liberation is the most important first step that can be taken towards being liberated here and now in this lifetime. The extremely intense desire for liberation is the extremely intense desire for the realization of absolute truth. The extremely intense longing for the ending of sorrow and for the experience of eternal love, joy. The extremely intense desire to experience who or what you really are at your core and to live eternally as your true self. The extremely intense desire for freedom from all illusion and delusion and freedom from the ego that is the source of all illusion and delusion. The extremely intense desire to awaken from the human nightmare. The extremely intense desire for liberation is the foundation of all true spirituality. Of all the factors that determine whether you will or will not be free, the intensity or lack of your desire for liberation is the most essential factor. Therefore, whatever you can do to most effectively increase your desire for liberation should be done. The knowledge that in your desire for liberation is the most effective first step you can take is an essential, powerful key. All obstacles that appear in your journey to freedom are caused by too little desire for freedom. Even a little increase in your desire for freedom is helpful. As your desire for freedom grows in intensity, the ego creates fewer obstacles. When your desire for freedom becomes very intense, your desire demands that you take no detours. When your desire for freedom becomes very intense, for the first time you can see what is essential for freedom and what is not essential. When the desire for freedom is weak, the ego will not allow you to see the ego's preservation strategies. When the desire for freedom is stronger, you can begin to see the ego's preservation strategies. When the desire for freedom becomes even more intense, you can see all of the ego's preservation strategies. When the extremely intense desire for liberation is awakened, you will marvel at how it was possible that you did not see the ego's preservation strategies before. When the extremely intense desire for liberation is awakened, you will see the endless maze of concepts the ego has created to trap your attention. When the desire for freedom becomes even more intense, the ego will no longer create preservation strategies. The extremely intense desire for for the direct experience of the absolute truth will guide you to your inner teacher. The extremely intense desire for truth will guide you to the practice that gives the direct experience of eternal life. The intensity of the desire for the realization of truth is the key. Increasing your desire for the absolute truth is the most important step. Increasing the desire for freedom must be the first step. Without an increase in your desire for freedom, all of your attempts at awakening will fail to produce eternal experience. Without an increase in your desire for freedom, the ego will distort all your spiritual studies, including what you read in the book you are now reading. Without an increase in your desire for freedom, the ego will never allow you to see the truth. What if your desire for liberation were to double from its present level? If your desire for liberation were to double from its present level, that would be a huge help. If your desire for liberation were to double from its present level, immediately you would begin to see what you have never been able to see before. What if your desire for liberation were a million times greater and more intense than it is now? Really, even if your desire for liberation doubles or triples, great change in what the ego allows you to see. When your desire for liberation increases greatly, every moment of your life will be dedicated to your liberation. That great intense desire for liberation itself will demand that you do not waste even one moment of time, and it will demand that you stop the egos and that you drop that which is not essential. The wonderful thing is, it is that same extreme desire for liberation that brings you the knowledge of what is essential and what is not essential, and allows you to see for the first time in your life. Before the extremely intense desire for freedom arises, you think you can see, but you are really blind. After the extremely intense desire for freedom arises, all is made clear and you have no doubts. Thus, the key to bringing the ego to an end is the intensity for freedom. Eagerness for liberation must be equal to the eagerness someone who is being held underwater has for trying to rise to the surface. How great, how intense is the desire of someone being held underwater trying to rise to the surface? He would like to rise to the surface, but he is being held underwater. See how intense his desire to the surface. At every second, his desire to rise to the surface is becoming more and more intense. After 1 minute, how the intensity of his desire has increased. After 2 minutes underwater, the desire for oxygen and therefore his desire to rise to the surface is greater. After 3 minutes underwater, his desire to rise to the surface is 100 times greater. After 4 minutes underwater, his desire to rise to the surface is 1,000 times greater. How great, how intense is it? That is how intense your desire for liberation must become. What if your present desire for freedom were to become a million times more intense than it is now? Then it would not be time for all these games, detours, and distractions. Then you would stop listening to teachers who are supposedly liberated, but who are not liberated. Then you would not pretend thinking about spirituality is spirituality. Then you would not pretend an intellectual journey is a spiritual journey. Then the only means you would accept would be the most direct means. Then you would be just like the man who is being kept underwater trying to rise up for air. He does not have time for discussion. He does not have time for games. Not have time for falters. He does not have time for methods that are not the most rapid and direct means. He does not have time for endless reading. He does not have time for television. He does not have time for projecting and imagined meaning onto the teachings. He does not have time for entertainment. He does not have time for pretending to want to be free. He does not have time for any dishonesty with himself. He does not have time for pretending he has risen to the surface. He does not have time for any debate or argument. What he has time for is only to focus all of his attention on rising to the surface. That is why the entire key lies in the intensity of the desire for freedom. The only problem an aspirant ever has is too weak a desire for liberation. An extremely intense desire for liberation will solve all problems. Amen and thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Cindy. You know, it's funny, I feel a little bit of compassion for those of you who were not able to read along as Cindy read. Sometimes we hear something much more deeply when both the ears and the eyes are focused on it. And I'm sure Cindy would agree, what was just read is a magnificent reading. So when I post this gathering, I will also post a link to where this chapter is online. It's chapter 4 from The Most Direct and Rapid Means to Eternal Bliss. So I will post that so that you can go and read it for yourself. Barb says she ordered the book and it's on its way. Yeah. This chapter from this book is, I think, one of the most important things a spiritual student can read. And I mean that sincerely. This chapter from this book is one of the most important things a spiritual student can read. And in fact, NTI, in a much more succinct way, says everything that Michael Langford has said in his book, although I think that reading the Michael Langford chapter is perfect because you're reading the same idea in a way over and over and over again. And if you read that same idea over and over and over again, it can get in past the ego. It can get in a little deeper, right? But let me read how NTI says the same thing in a more succinct way. This is from NTI Galatians chapter 5. Listen to this. Focus on your willingness as if it is your truth, because it is. Focus on your willingness as if it holds the answer to all questions, because it does. Focus on your willingness as if it is everything to everyone, because it is. Focus on your own willingness. That is love alive within the world. Much more succinct, but sending the exact same message. You know, Michael Langford, a part of me just wants to read this to you again. That's how important I think this chapter is, but I won't. I won't sit here and read it to you again. You can read it for yourself. What I will do is highlight a few things that Michael Langford has said in this chapter. He says, awakening the extremely intense desire for liberation is the most important first step that can be taken towards being liberated here and now in this lifetime. The most important first step. You know, it's interesting because I have heard teachings, and I know that you have too, because we're in the same circle and we hear the same teachings. I have heard teachings that understanding metaphysics is most important. And I used to believe that. And in fact, I spent years coming to great clarity regarding metaphysics. Years. And I came to great clarity regarding metaphysics. I really did. But do you know what happened when I got to the end of that road? Inner Ramana woke up in me. And Inner Ramana let me know that the only reason for all of those years of understanding metaphysics was to bring me to the willingness for the practice. There really wasn't any need at all to understand metaphysics, zero. What there was a need for was the increase in willingness. So I suppose what that means is that if we are in the phase where we are understanding metaphysics, and if we find that that understanding is increasing our willingness, then it is useful. And it did for me. You know, as I came to understand how the one mind influences itself, and I came to understand that as I let go of ego thinking that affected everyone and everything, and that as I increased my thinking with spirit, as I awoke more and more, that was helpful to everyone and everything, that motivated me, therefore that understanding was helpful. But it wasn't really the understanding that was helpful, it was the motivation. You see? And I think maybe some of us have been taught that the understanding is helpful, and it's not true. It's not true. So if we're struggling and struggling to understand metaphysics and we're frustrated and we can't get it and there's no motivation factor coming from it, yay, we can drop it. We do not have to understand. Understanding metaphysics does not matter at all. What matters is our motivation. So where should I be spending my time? Where should I be spending my time? Well, I'll tell you the best answer, and then I'll go to the second best answer, which is really where many of us are. Many of us need that second best answer right now. But let me start with the best answer. The very best answer for how to spend your time is in spiritual practice 100% of the time, never once leaving spiritual practice during the day. The very best way to spend your time is in spiritual practice all of the time, never once leaving your spiritual practice for a single moment during the day. And if we are not there, then the best place to spend our time is increasing our willingness, increasing our desire, increasing our extremely intense desire for liberation. And since most of us do not come out of the chute and go immediately into spiritual practice 100% of the time because we are still distracted by the world and we are still distracted by other desires, since that's the case, Michael Langford tells us that awakening the extremely intense desire for liberation is the most important first step, the most important first step that can be taken towards being liberated here and now in this lifetime. And do you know how you can tell how intense your desire for awakening is? By how much time you spend in practice, literally. Because a completely full desire for liberation doesn't have time for anything but spiritual practice. And I love the example that Michael Langford gives, and he's not the only one that gives this example. But I love the example he gives of a man being held underwater, right? Being held underwater. How much does he want to rise to the surface and get a breath of air? You know, in the first 10 seconds, he certainly wants to rise to the surface. But after a minute, he wants to rise to the surface a whole lot more, and he's probably getting stronger in his struggles. And after 2 minutes, a whole lot more. And you know, as Michael says, after 4 minutes, 1,000 times more. You know, and I love this part. Let me read this part for you again. I love this part when he's likening our desire for liberation to the man being held under the water. Again, because we can lie to ourselves. You guys know that, right? We can lie to ourselves. We can say, oh, yeah, my desire to awaken is really, really strong. But if our desire to awaken was as strong as the man being held under the water, there would not be time for games, detours, and distractions. None. You know, like the other day, I played this fun little game on Facebook that said, what state is your soul from? And I noticed that several of you joined me in it. But you know what I thought immediately after I played that game? I thought, huh, there was 4 minutes. 4 minutes just went by when I was not at all interested in awakening. I wasn't even thinking about it. I was just playing a game. Would a man being held underwater have that 4 minutes? And again, like I said in the prayer, this doesn't mean that I chastise myself. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. What it does mean is that I notice there is improvement. There's room for improvement in my desire for liberation, or I wouldn't even have taken that 4 minutes. If our desire for liberation was as full as a man who's being held underwater, as full as his desire to rise to the surface, there would not be time for games, detours, and distractions. We would not listen to teachers who were supposedly liberated, but we knew that they weren't liberated. And how do we know that they're not liberated? Our intense desire itself lets us see what we need to see. So our intense desire itself lets us know the difference between a teacher that is truly, truly helpful and a teacher that isn't. And we don't have time for the ones who aren't. We just don't have time, right? If you're under the surface, being held under the water, you're not going to listen to a teacher that's telling you the best way to rise up is to dig all the way down, 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 down till you come out up on the other side of the planet. You don't have time for that. You're not going to listen to that teacher. The minute he starts talking, you're going to lose interest. You might listen to the teacher that explains that you could hit this guy in the balls and he'll let go and you can rise up. That's very direct. You know, you're going to know the difference between a teacher who is wasting time sharing information that is not most helpful and a teacher who's sharing some very specific, very helpful information that can be used right now. If our desire for liberation is completely full, we're not going to pretend that thinking about spirituality is spirituality. We're not going to pretend that an intellectual journey is a spiritual journey. We're not going to have time for discussing spirituality, you know, in a way that, in an intellectual way. You know, think about the man being held underwater. Does he have time to daydream? Oh, I wonder what it would be like to breathe again. I wonder what it would be like, you know, if I'm going to right now pretend like I'm breathing. Oh, I'm a person who can breathe. He doesn't have time for that kind of crap. And if we do have time, it means our intense desire for liberation is not yet fully awakened. It means that we need to be focusing our time on increasing our desire for liberation until we don't have time for wasting time. Until we don't have time for wasting time. Until we don't have time for fooling ourselves. So how does one go about increasing their desire for liberation? Well, I can only answer for myself. I'll share what's true for me. And then you can find out if it's true for you too. How's that sound? First of all, reading chapter 4 from The Most Direct Means to Eternal Bliss to me is helpful. So is reading chapter 5, but for me, chapter 4 even more. Chapter 4 just does it. There are also a large number of quotes from a large number of masters, so many that I can find a different one every day to contemplate that increases my desire for liberation. You know, Jesus in the Bible, there are some things that Jesus said in the Bible that just are really, really helpful to me. Like Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You know, I can read a quote like that and then just sit with it My heart blows wide open. And I can just set in that. And that being with my desire for awakening increases my desire for awakening. You see, what's happening when I let a quote like that one from the Bible blow my heart open and then I spend time with it, not just quickly read it. I mean, you know, this is how a lot of people read spiritual material. And it's so sad. It is so sad. People read like this. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You know what? You don't get anything out of that. Nothing. But when you read this way, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger. Blessed are those who hunger. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And I'm going to stop there, or it would take half an hour. Because it would take me half an hour to read this quote in the way that I read quotes in the morning by myself. You see, when you read that way, it does something. It does something inside. It increases your desire for liberation. And you know what else? I don't think any of us have time to go a single day without some kind of focus on meditation, contemplation, inquiry. Not a single day. And if we think that we're too busy today to do it, that is simply a sign that we need to spend more time focusing on our desire for awakening. Because the man being held underwater would not be too busy. We're all here, as far as I know, because we say that we want to awaken. There's a lot of other things out there to be doing. Heck, this is even a holiday weekend, isn't it? Couldn't we be out on our boats, be picnicking with our family? Isn't there just a ton of other things to do? Why are we here now? Every one of you, right now, you're here. Why? Is it because you have a crush on me? Of course not. It's because we at least say we want to awaken. So are we willing to take that to the next step? To work on increasing this desire for liberation until there really isn't tolerance in us for anything but awakening. Roy says, the tables in the sanctuary are always full of good eats, he says, for the mind. I'm going to say for the heart. Jehovah always gives the food at the appointed time when you are ready. Let me read another quote from someone else. Just another quote that kind of gets my heart going. Let's see. This one is from Nisargadatta Maharaj. I love this quote. Of course, every quote, if I gave you a list of the quotes I loved and I shared them with you in the way that I read them, we would be here for weeks. That's how many quotes I have that help me, that assist me. But here's one from Nisargadatta Maharaj. You must be eager to see. You must be eager to see. You need both clarity and earnestness for self-knowledge. You need both clarity and earnestness for self-knowledge. You need maturity of heart and mind, which comes through earnest application in daily life. Earnest application in daily life of whatever little you have understood. You must be eager to see. You must be eager to see. You need both clarity and earnestness for self-knowledge. You must be eager. You need clarity and earnestness for self-knowledge. And you need maturity of heart and mind, which comes through earnestness. You must be eager. You need earnestness, and you need everything that comes to you through earnestness. You need it all. How do you get it all? First, by being eager. Eager is first. Focus on being eager. And because we don't have weeks, I won't go on to other quotes. Instead, I'll go to a song. There are also songs that help to increase my desire for awakening. So I'll play one of those songs. As I play this song, you're invited to contemplate today's reading and teaching. And also you're invited to donate to Awakening Together. Barb will share the link. The song is called Consume Me. And it's by Grace Williams.
Yeah.
So this is the time of our weekly gathering when you all are invited to share based on today's reading and today's teaching. We have about 6 or 7 minutes for that. So anyone who would like to share, please raise your hand and I will turn the mic over to you. I'm noticing Kathy says that the ad next to her Pal Talk says, indulge your devotion. Ramana Maharshi gets lots of credit for self-inquiry, but he also thought devotion was equally important. All right, Gloria, the mic is yours.
Okay, good morning, everybody. I just wanted to get on and say that, you know, a couple of days ago I asked a very simple question. And that was, you know, why was I given such a desire to know the truth? Why am I not content with just being blissfully ignorant? The question was asked in the same spirit that Regina asked the question, why are we all here today? It's the holiday weekend. And it was asked in that spirit but today I really did get the answer to that question. And that was to be grateful that I do have that willingness to be here and then to increase that willingness. So it was a very surprising answer to me, because here I am questioning why I have that much willingness or that much desire to know the truth, when the answer is to increase even that. So I'm just grateful today. I'm grateful to be a part of this group with you guys, where I'm in a position to learn more and get this direct experience of bliss. Thank you, and that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Gloria, very much. We enjoyed that. Bye, Cindy. Thank you so much for reading today. Does anyone else have something they would like to share? We have 3 or 4 more minutes left for sharing. One thing I noticed people posting in the room from time to time are the prayer hands. And the prayer hands themselves help to increase my desire for liberation. I can take my own hands, put them in the prayer position, and place them in front of my heart. And that opens my heart, and then I can just sit in that. So that's another technique. I'm sure I have many, many techniques that I use, and that's why I say we each need to discover our own techniques, but anything that helps to increase our desire for awakening is helpful. Anything that doesn't, maybe we should question whether we're spending our time wisely. You know, for example, even the sanctuary, if coming into the sanctuary increases your desire to awaken, then please come. But if it doesn't, if your desire for awakening is actually increased more by spending time alone in contemplation or meditation, I, as one who loves you, would say do that. You know, if you look at our purpose is not to get as many people as we can in the sanctuary. Our purpose is to awaken to one true self. And our purpose is to support each other on different paths of awakening to one true self, of that. And so if your path is to be here in the sanctuary, I support that. And if your path is to be alone, I support that. You know, Lynn and I are, I'm going to say, 2 different types. Lynn's desire to awaken comes from being in the sanctuary, and that's why she's a perfect sanctuary director. Mine comes more from being alone in contemplation and meditation. And that's why I'm the better person to lead the ministerial preparation program, because it's all about contemplation and meditation and being alone. So we have two different types of people that are primarily responsible for managing awakening together, and that's because you all are two different types of people. And so Lynn keeps the sanctuary going for those of you who need to be here. And then I offer opportunities for meditation and contemplation for those of you who need to be there. Let me read from NTI one more time, and then I'll play our closing song. Here's what NTI said. Again, this is kind of a brief summary of everything Michael Langford says in Chapter 4 of The Most Direct Means to Eternal Bliss. Focus on your willingness as if it is your truth, because it is. Focus on your willingness as if it holds the answer to all questions, because it does. Focus on your willingness as if it is everything to everyone, because it is. Focus on your own willingness. That is love alive within the world. And the closing song today is very brief. It's called Love of God by Julie True. Sorry about that. It ended very quickly and went into the next song, and apologize for the loud start. I had turned it up to hear Gloria, the speaker, and I forgot to turn it back down. But I love how she ends that song, I choose life. I choose life. I choose life. Because isn't that what we're doing when we're increasing our desire for awakening? I mean, aren't we awakening to that which is eternal, therefore awakening to life as what we are? Not this form, but life as what we are. I choose life. I choose life. I choose life. Even saying that with the heart could increase one's desire for liberation. I choose life. I choose life. I choose life. A couple of reminders before I go. Three reminders before I go. One is that tonight Chuck Hillig will be here as a special guest at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So if that sounds like something that may help increase your desire for liberation, please come and listen to Chuck at 8 p.m. Another thing is that tomorrow you will receive a letter in your inbox regarding our summer elections and the nomination process, which also opens tomorrow. Please pay attention to that letter. Even if you don't feel to get involved by nominating anyone, we would love for you to get involved by supporting the nominations that are made, because again, each nominee needs support from either 10% of the membership or the member board of trustees to make it to the ballot. And so your supporting of those nominees who are nominated by others is very helpful, and the letter will tell you how to do that. Probably a good time to support is near the end of the 2 weeks, because by then all of the nominees hopefully will be up and you can look at them and choose who you want to support. And then the third one is more of an announcement than a reminder. Next Sunday, our minister for the Awakening Together weekly gathering is going to be Reverend David Hempel. It will be his very first gathering. So please come and hear David. And I will see you guys this evening when I come back for the 7 Steps to Awakening. Have a glorious day.